Blog Talk Radio.
The stuff you can't tell nobody about. All the hell you've been through.
Just find all that I've been done. The best is Hello, everybody. Thank you for taking the time to join me on tonight. This is Prolific Fire, and of course, I'm your humble host, Prophet Stacy. We're back on our regular night, which is Monday night. Thank you once again, everybody, that took the time to celebrate with us on last night. We so appreciate it. With that being said, Father God, look up on everybody, God, that's tuning in tonight. Lord God, add a special blessing to them tonight. Lord God, for that one that especially can heal from this word that goes forth tonight, Lord God. Look up on them and strengthen them, God. Bring forth deliverance to their lives, Lord God, tonight. Show them, God. Show them. In the name of Jesus. The first song I played was Heal the Wound by Point of Grace, and the second song, Your Ladder Will Be Greater, by Martha Minnesi.
Tonight, the foundational text comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29 from the Amplified. When it was evening on the same day, the first day of the week, both the disciples were meeting behind barred doors for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with great joy. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you as my representative." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven because of their faith. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained and retain unforgiven because of their unbelief." But Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, who was also called Didymus, the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and put my finger into the nail prints and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again inside the house, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, though the doors had been barred, and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but stop doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, do you now believe? Blessed, happy, spiritually secure, and beloved by God are they who did not see me and yet believed in me. Do you struggle with believing? Do you struggle with trusting your own instincts, let alone trusting the words coming out of someone else's mouth? Have you been skeptical like that since childhood? Early on, it seems you have built up a wall inside you so high that it could literally take years to destroy its foundation and rebuild. You are set in your ways, having been lied to, having been let down, disappointed so much in your childhood. It's this kind of negativity that has literally shaped you as an adult and did some lasting damage to your belief system. It's not easy to make you believe anything anymore. That innocent, childlike faith of not seeing but still believing and taking someone's word for it, even though you didn't see it yourself, an innocence like that ended in you way too soon. Now, not wanting to look vulnerable or naive in front of people, you refuse to even let yourself hope. And that's just the way it is. It will always be. Unless God steps in. God was with Nehemiah. That's why he could rebuild the broken down wall of Jerusalem. in just 52 days. But love, you represent a wall that is broken, and it's going to take God himself to show you another way after all these years. But love, you represent a wall that is broken, and it's going to take God himself to show you another way after all these years. Show me tonight's message. It's a nice foundational text to be shown in order to believe. Believing didn't come as easy for him as it did the other disciples. Right away, what I hear God saying tonight is this. You can't get mad at a person for not believing like you believe. Even if that person is a Christian, same as you, you can't get mad when it takes them a little longer to get what you got. You don't know what happened in that person's life, BC, before Christ, that's partly responsible for the way they act now. You don't know what happened in that person's life before Christ, that's partly responsible for the way that they act now. That's our problem as Christians. That's our problem as human beings in general. We don't seek to really understand each other. That's our problem as Christians. That's our problem as human beings in general. We don't seek to really understand each other. Still, the Bible says, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Proverbs 4:7, New King James. Now, one person standing in that room knew Thomas's history, which means nobody in that room could justify or disqualify his reaction to what he had been told. But had not seen. Nobody in that room knew his history, so they could not justify or disqualify his reaction to what he had been told, but had not seen. Let that encourage your heart tonight. They don't know your history. What happened to you before Christ? Therefore, they cannot justify or disqualify your reaction. Somebody, all your life, you've had a reason to doubt. But now that there's no longer a reason, you have to be shown. You have to be shown that not everybody is a pathological liar. You have to be shown that not everybody has a hidden agenda. You have to be shown that you can trust other people. You have to be shown even that you can trust yourself. That it's safe to trust your own instincts. Too much has happened in your past before Christ for you just to pretend like you don't need what you need. But love, you need what you need. There's no shame in that. In tonight's foundational text, Thomas needed to be shown. The other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails and put my finger into the nail prints and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." Perhaps you can relate to Thomas, and you keep saying to yourself, "I will never be that naive again. I will never believe that way. I will never believe them again. I will never do that again. I will never set myself up to be taken advantage of like that again." They kept telling Thomas, "We have seen the Lord," but still, he had to be shown. When you're dealing with the spirit of doubt, when doubt is that person in a struggle, you know what is best that they be shown. All of a sudden, words become cheap. Proof of what you're saying becomes worth what 1,000 words alone are not. But love, let's face it, there will always be that one who will force you to demonstrate what you're saying and not just talking. Thomas was that one. As much as he wanted to believe that the other disciples had seen the Lord, he just couldn't shake the old saying that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Thomas just couldn't get past his own thinking. Somebody right now, You can't have faith in God because you can't get past your own thinking. In your mind, it just doesn't seem logical. So you shut down anyone who comes to you talking God. So you shut down anyone who comes to you talking God. Like Thomas, you struggle. Like Thomas, your struggle is doubt. And it goes back as far as you can remember. It causes you not to trust, not the way that you used to. You see, in your mind, it's okay if somebody fools you once. Shame on them. But if they fool you twice, shame on you. The shame is inflicted on you by you because to you, if you get deceived, lied to, tricked into believing something that is not true again, it says something to you about who you are. So you put up a wall, determined to not let anyone get close, determined to not let anyone get too close. It's going to take God himself to get through to you. Therefore, in tonight's text, Jesus, knowing this about Thomas, makes it his business to show back up 8 days later. Now, I think it's important to note that Jesus didn't show up and come through the door with an attitude, rebuking Thomas for having doubt or for not knowing any better. The way some Christian leaders, some Christian parents, and some Christians in general have a habit of doing. He didn't show up and lecture Thomas on the importance of believing. He didn't fuss at him, scold or scorn him, belittle him, or make him feel any less than any of the other disciples. Never once in the text does Jesus sarcastically ask, Thomas, what's wrong with you? After all this time, you being my disciple, what's wrong with you? No, Thomas was honestly struggling, and Jesus knew that the wrong kind of temperament on his part would make things worse. Somebody, that's not Jesus condemning you. That is not Jesus condemning you because you're currently struggling with something. Remember, the Bible says, therefore, now is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1 from the New King James. Oh, how I love that Jesus didn't let his temper get the best of him. Oh, how I love that Jesus didn't let his temper get the best of him. Oh, how I love that he didn't show up and come through the door all angry and loud, accusing Thomas. But, love, how many times have you been yelled at or talked to the wrong way? And you knew within yourself that could have been handled better, but it wasn't. This was not one of those times. Jesus showed up 8 days later and proceeded to give Thomas what he needed to make believing okay for him. Jesus showed up 8 days later and proceeded to give Thomas what he needed to make believing okay for him again. Side note, if there are any teachers listening in, you have students in your classroom that are in need of some things that will make learning okay for them, and you have yet to address their needs. I pray you learn from Jesus tonight how to handle with care someone who has needs, someone who is struggling through no fault of their own. You know you are loved when someone shows up and does extra for you just to make sure you're okay. God says in Jeremiah 31:3 from the King James Version, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. Do extra for that person in need, that person who is struggling. Show them the love of the Father. That's what Jesus did for Thomas. He allowed Thomas to touch him. He came and allowed Thomas to touch him. He said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hand and put out your hand and place it in my side. Jesus didn't have a problem with Thomas touching him because that's what Thomas needed. Jesus didn't have a problem with Thomas touching him because that's what Thomas needed. He needed to feel with his fingers and touch with his hands and know by way of his physical senses that this is real and it's okay. It's okay. It's safe for him to believe. to have childlike faith again. I speak to those of you who have lost your innocence at a young age. It's okay. It's okay. It's safe to believe again. Everyone is not out to hurt you because that person you trusted did. Come to Jesus, not religion, but come to Jesus and allow him to touch the parts of you that hurt. Let him heal you from the inside out. One of my favorite scriptures simply says, who is that coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Song of Solomon 8:5, King James Version. If you're reading any other version, Song of Solomon is also known as Song of Songs. You can come up out of the wilderness. You can come up out of that mental wilderness that you're in. You can come up out of that physical wilderness that you're in. I'm a living witness that you can. If you would just lean the broken pieces of your heart towards Jesus. Don't bother trying to mash your brokenness, because in 1 Samuel 16:7, God lets us know that he looks at the heart. So he already sees your brokenness. He already sees your brokenness and just how severe it is. Many of you tonight, you can't trust, you can't believe because your past hurts keep resurfacing and messing with your head. So now, like Thomas, you don't know what to think. When you hear the truth, you don't know what to think, the doubts, the questions you have. Somebody let God heal your wounds so that you can trust, so that you can believe again. Take him up on his promise, for I will restore health to you, and I will heal your wounds, says the Lord. Jeremiah 30:17, Amplified Classic Bible. Religion would have you believe that there is something wrong with you. You see, but religion would have you believe that there's something wrong with you for doubting. Religion would have you believe there's something wrong with you rather than actually take the time to find out why. To find out why you feel the way that you do and what it is that you need. Almost anything can be changed or corrected. Almost anything can be changed or corrected if you find out what the person needs. If you find out what the person needs and meet the need. Jesus demonstrated the gospel to Thomas by actually taking the time to find out what he needed and giving it to him without judgment. Think about this. Jesus could have remained there with the other disciples just a few seconds more until Thomas showed up from wherever he was, but he didn't. He showed himself to the other disciples and left, or so it seems he left. But did he really leave? Because remember, he is omnipresent, meaning God who is present everywhere at the same time. So it's very possible that Jesus heard Thomas when he told the other disciples, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and put my finger in the nail prints and put my hand into his side, I would never believe. And like clockwork, he shows up 8 days later to give Thomas what he needed. Coincidence? I think not. Jesus gives Thomas what he needed, after which he says to Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but stop doubting and believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. You see, after you have been shown compassion, after you have seen and felt the love of the Father and all your needs are met, there's no more doubt, no more questions. And all you can say is like Thomas, my Lord and my God. I need some single person living alone to shout, show me. I need some married person with a house full of kids to whisper, show me. Father God, show us, so areas where we doubt will fall off and years of hurt can finally be healed. Whether you're saved or unsaved, repeat after me. We give our hearts to you, broken and otherwise. We choose this day to lean on you and you alone. So we can come out of the wilderness, out of the wilderness place once and for all, and be healed, be delivered, so that we can trust, so that we can believe again. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer or Bible-based consultation, you know the drill. You can call or text me at 865-408-8690. Again, the number is 865-408-8690, or you can email prolificfire@gmail.com. However, if you're on the phone right now via Blog Talk Radio and you desire prayer now, get your prayer request in your head. I want you to get your prayer request in your head and press 1 on your phone, and I will be with you in a minute. Press 1 on your phone, get your prayer request in your head, and I will be with you in a minute. My social media information, for those of you that need it, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophet Stacy, like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Also, check out my Train the Pain blog and subscribe at prophetstacy.blogspot.com. That's prophetstacy.blogspot.com. My Train the Pain blog, subscribe to it. It's really good. To God be the glory. Also, join us September the 14th. That's Friday night for Faith on the Line with Prophet Faith. 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. Call the number that many of you called tonight. Thank you. The number is 347-426-3782. 347-426-3782 for prayer and encouragement. Also, be sure to join me right back here Saturday night. It's always a Monday night for Prolific Fire. Right back here, same night, time, and place, where the message will be, what about your parents? This message is for those of you who have aging parents. It's time you took better care of them. What about your parents?
To God be the glory. I pray that somebody was blessed by that word on tonight. And if you're struggling with doubt, I pray that you got delivered on tonight and that you see Jesus in a brand new way. Come to him and not to religion. He will give you what you need without judgment. I see on tonight that nobody decided to press 1 for a prayer, but I gave you my information. So if you need me, be sure to reach out to me. DM me on Twitter or on Instagram if you need to. Once again, thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody, for joining me on tonight. Until next time, God bless. I'm out.